Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Hi, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert, and today is Monday, April 17th, 2017, and you're listening to episode 14. That's a lot of teens.
It is a lot of teens, and of course, we're recording on a Monday again.
That's all right. We're getting up there.
You know, I had Easter. to devote my day to family and JC yesterday, so I figure drinking beer and recording an inappropriate podcast, probably not the best thing to do on Easter, but...
That's all right. Lightning only strikes once, right?
That's true. That's true. It's missed me every time so far, though, so that's the problem.
Do you guys go to church or do any of that kind of activity on Easter?
No, we actually just spent it with some family. We have some family about 45 minutes northwest of here, and so we hung out with them, went over their house, kids had fun. It was a good time. Watched the Tigers game while I was there.
Yeah, that's nice to have a little bit of baseball on a Sunday and enjoy it, especially when the weather's been so good, at least around here. It's probably been great up there as well.
Yeah, I think you sent me the current weather conditions down in your neck of the woods, and I think it was upper 80s. Yeah, yeah, that's crazy. It got, it's been touching on, I think it was Saturday. I think Saturday it hit 80 degrees for a little bit. Then today it was up in the, you know, upper 60s, but it's been sunny. I can't really complain.
We've definitely had some nicer weather too. And you're right. It was really hot that day. And we met up with some family and went to brunch and sat outside. And at first we were worried because it was going to be close to 90 degrees, but, with a nice breeze and it's not quite humid yet. It was good being under a little, you know, awning or, umbrellas, depending on which table it was. It made for a nice time.
What'd you get for breakfast?
I ate a lot of stuff. It was one of those buffets, so you could kind of go through and pick. And I had French toast and potatoes and green beans and, a whole bunch of stuff. And then the dessert was the best part. They brought out this, you know, big old slice of chocolate cake that had caramel sauce on it, chocolate chips.
Not caramel? It was caramel?
No, they were all out of caramel, so they put caramel on it or one of those two. But it was fantastic. That's the part that I remember, although, you know, the French toast was quite good. It was like Bananas Foster, I think it was. No syrup or anything on it. It was perfect the way it was.
You take any type of breakfast food like that and add bananas to it.
Yeah.
And you got me anyway. But do you ever feel like this when you're at a buffet? Like, I always think,
yes,
you know, how... I'm sure you do. Well, I always think, you know, however many dollars the buffet costs me, I want to make sure that I get that many dollars worth of food in my system, because I always feel like I'm not going to let them get the best of me.
Yeah,
I'm going to eat. So if it's a $30 buffet, I'm going to make sure I shovel $30 worth of food down my gullet by the time I leave.
Yeah, you go for the higher priced items. You know, you don't. I mean, the French toast is probably good, but Melissa was over in the line that had the, you know, the sliced prime rib and the...
Stick to the protein, yep.
I think this one was fairly expensive. It was $35, so it was pricey. But luckily, you know, my son, who's only 7, his was like 13, and I think he ate like probably a slice of that banana French toast and a couple pieces of bacon, and that was kind of it until the chocolate cake came out. So he didn't get his $13 worth, but I think the rest of us definitely got our 30 plus worth.
Yeah, last buffet I went to like that was actually at a Tigers game. So we had passes to this you know, kind of VIP club that we had gotten with our tickets. So we went up there, and they have a buffet, and it's really cool because it's the whole one side of the buffet is all windows, it's all glass, and it looks directly down. It's in the outfield, so it's a little bit further away than where our seats were, kind of off of the first baseline. But it's all glass, so you can sit in there, and it's obviously temperature controlled, and just eat. And while you're eating, every table that's in there kind of has a view of the game, so you can watch the game and you can hear it too on the speaker. So we went there, but I think I won that time as well. Just And between the they had a sushi bar there, so I'm like, all right, I can eat my, you know, 30, 40 bucks, whatever it was, in sushi, and not a problem. And then everything else will just be a bonus after that. So
yeah, they've got something similar to that at Nationals Park, which is the Budweiser Brew House, I think it is. But it used to be something else in the past, but they've renamed it to the Budweiser brand, and it's off probably left of center field. And it overlooks, if you ever watched a Nationals game, you'll see a lot of homers go out that way. And you'll see they have outside seating, which is kind of actually in the park. But then the other part is up in the concourse. And it's the same kind of thing. It's just got all this glass where you can look out into the game. And never been, you know, I guess I've never had the opportunity to sit up in there because I kind of like to be, you know, down in the action, so to speak. But it'd be nice to try it at least sometime in my life.
I don't think I've ever watched a Nationals game.
You should. You know, you asked me about any Nationals games that be playing the Tigers, and the only one that they did this year and that they're going to do this year was spring training games.
Yeah,
so,
I saw that.
Yeah, we had a chance to go to Florida and missed out, but anyhow, maybe next year.
You never know. The problem is, I mean, we're in two separate leagues, right? So,
yeah,
you know, AL and NL, there's only so many games that you're playing against the other league, and you're generally focusing on your own division if more than anything else, so... You know,
well, they played last year. They just didn't get to it this year. I guess they're going to alternate. Probably outside of the Orioles, which are, you know, an hour away. We don't really get to play a lot of the same teams, you know, in back to back years in the American League.
No, neither do the Tigers. I mean, some of the National League teams, I can't remember the last time the Tigers played them. So it's been,
yeah,
like you said, there's only so much. I think they do try to have a healthy rotation. Plus, you guys don't use designated hitters, which drives me nuts.
If we play during an interleague play, then we will get to use the designated hitter. So yeah, that's kind of a nice thing to see how it would be. And there's, you know, it really depends on your school of thought there. But for the most part, our pitchers are decent hitters. I mean, Scherzer's had some really good at-bats. Even Strasburg has had a couple decent at-bats. But really, when those guys get up, it's not a real out. You know, you can't just go up there and guarantee that, hey, this is, you know, if you've got two outs already and your pitcher's coming up, you know, at least against the Nationals, there's a decent chance that he's still going to get on base. So you need to pitch him just like you would any other player.
See, when the Tigers pitchers are up to bat, we just, you know, it's kind of like a little treat for us because, I mean, there's only so many opportunities on any given season for the pitcher to actually get an at bat in the American League. So it's it's always interesting.
He's got to be something special if he gets to get up there.
Yeah, so we have seen Verlander bat a few times. I think he got a base hit actually one time, which was, you know, which was good for him.
Well, if you ever play against the Giants, don't you might want to pitch around Madison Bumgarner. I think he's had two home runs in a game this year, and he's had other times. He's just a monster. Either, you know, having a ball come at you off his hand or pitching the other way right to him, he's gonna knock it out of there. So we don't like playing him either.
Hey.
That's baseball.
By the way, the Tigers won the last one more thing. Tigers won the last series against the Cleveland Indians, so I was pretty excited.
That's right. The defending AL champions. So.
Even though we got our asses whomped on Saturday, it was a rough game for Verlander on Saturday.
He got hit around pretty bad.
Yeah, which isn't typical for Verlander. He's kind of our ace pitcher, so. You know.
Yeah, that was tough. I was watching some of that as well, and it looked like he was really having a hard time. And same thing with Zimmerman the other day, just having a hard time putting his pitches where he wanted them, and you know they were knocking him out. So it looks like you guys are only a game ahead of us. You're 8-4, and we're 7-5. So we've had a couple walk offs in the last few games, so that's been exciting. But it's brought the heart rate up a little bit higher than it needs to for a sport that's supposed to be relaxing. Cardiac gnats.
Come every eighth inning at a Tigers game, I'm having a heart attack because our bullpen, again, I know I've discussed it on the show, but it's just like it's the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. Even Brad Ausmus, I thought it was pretty funny, who's our manager, kind of his response to the issue with the pen was, yeah, we just gotta pitch better. Well, no shit.
Yeah, we got to go deeper. Yeah, we've got a you know for shit pen as well. That's probably not fair. We've had some struggles, but I think the guys they're talented, so you know they'll make it. But it's just we might have a few kinks to iron out between now and the end of the season. So hopefully we'll get there, and hopefully we'll be deep into the playoffs. And you know if we're lucky, we'll take a ring and a trophy home.
Hey, and like I said, it would be, you know, in a perfect world, it would be the Tigers against the Nationals in the World Series, and I think it would be an exciting matchup regardless.
That's right. No games on Sundays, though.
No games on Sundays.
Or Mondays.
Yeah, that would be rough for us. We might actually have to record on Tuesday then.
We'll figure something out.
Yep. What have you been up to?
Well, we've been we've on spring break in this area where the kids are back to school tomorrow. So we took the day off and went and saw the Lego Batman movie today after hitting up the local IHOP for some breakfast. And it was pretty funny. You know, we've got a couple loud cackles out of my son when he saw some of the scenes. The theater was so busy, we didn't get a chance to sit together. So it was kind of, you know, my wife and daughter in one area and my son and I in another area. And at the end of the movie where they were, "We think we heard you." So it was pretty fun. It probably wasn't as, you know, if you were to say, was it good? I don't know that I would really classify it as good, but it was entertaining and something certainly that, you know, the kids would enjoy. And, you know, hey, once it's out on digital, we'll be buying it for iTunes and watching it again. So it was fun. Makes me want to buy more Legos, unfortunately.
And I feel like this day and age, they do a pretty good job of, even in the kids' movies, putting some stuff for the parents in there. Like even some of the movies, like when I took Colin to see the Minions, there was a lot of stuff in there that I'm like, you know, they're very good at marketing this movie to get the parents to come to the movie theater and buy tickets as well, because there was some stuff I'm like, there's no way in hell these kids get this innuendo, but
that's how the original Lego movie was. Original Lego movie was like that too. You know, there were a lot of references in there that Melissa and I, we were sitting together that time, and we were kind of looking at each other throughout, and just, we were laughing, but looking around, none of the kids were laughing, and there were definitely jokes that, like you said, that were more parent-focused that made us appreciate the movie even more. This one didn't seem to have really any of that. It was fun to pick out the different, you know, bad guys that were in there, and some movies from when we were kids, Gremlins. Overall, it was fun, so hopefully it'll be out soon, and we'll go ahead and buy it and watch it again and see what we missed.
Nice. What's crazy is that you still have movie theaters over there where you just, like barbarians, go in there and sit down wherever there's available seating. All the movie theaters by me, the ones we go to anyway, all have assigned seating, so when you buy the ticket, you choose what seat you're going to sit at, so you can show up. What's cool about it is you can show up to a sold-out movie 2 minutes before the movie starts, and you know exactly where you're going to sit because you've actually picked those seats out. So most of the movie theaters in my area are kind of doing that anyway. And it's so nice because, again, you don't have to worry about, again, that busy movie and not being able to sit together.
Well, this was, I think, part of it was spring break. Yeah. And then the other thing is that this is, being the Lego Batman movie, which is already out of the regular theaters, this is kind of the, you know, $2 a ticket. So that combined with spring break, although we thought, you know, maybe being a Monday it was going to be that bad. And we were actually really nervous when we pulled up because there were 5 school buses out front. And we hopefully they're leaving. And sure enough, after we parked, we were walking up and they were all streaming out. So we probably wouldn't have seen the movie if they were all heading in.
Yeah, thank God. I go someplace and see a bunch of, unless it's the mall and I see a bunch of school buses. You know, I think one time we were rolling up to like a McDonald's or something. There was a school bus parked outside the McDonald's, and I just kind of looked inside the window, and I'm like, "Yeah, this is
not worth it.
No way in hell we're going in there. We'll go to a different location." I'm not loving it.
No, it's okay. Something else. All right. Well, before we get too far, I think we need to discuss what we're drinking tonight.
Hey, bartender, another beer.
Smooth and delicious.
I would have loved to have waited and got through all we have to cover, but this glass, and I've been sipping from it a little bit, but this glass is calling me, and I don't know how much longer I can hold it.
I'm halfway done with my beer already.
You see, that's that other school of thought where Melissa is always like, "Well, what are you doing?" And I keep her in the dark, and you and Kelly always discuss it. So, you know, you're just drinking the thing while I'm talking, and I'm holding mine, you know, waiting for the appropriate time. So that's probably...
You like the build-up more. You like the build-up more than I do. Yeah. I'm just like, you know, whatever.
I like order. You know, that's part of my job. I like order. Things have to happen. They don't always, but, you know, how you deal with it after that is there. But actually, it's a lot like what you said last week. You know, going back to work after a vacation, you're going back to a situation you can control. And that's kind of how this is for me, as you probably haven't figured out by now.
Although instead of just, you know, being able to control things at work, you like to you prefer to be in control of every aspect of yours and everyone's life.
Well, what's funny about that is that I feel so laid back, you know, in my head. I'm so laid back, just like I'm 20 years younger. And then at work, you know, my boss was like, you know, that early on, you know, she was saying, oh, we all control freaks. We're all control freaks. I'm like, not me, you know. And over time, it's like, wow, I really am. So, you know.
Nothing wrong with it.
It is what it is.
Nothing wrong with it.
I'm still extremely laid back, and my personality is, you know, as my wife will attest to, is fairly flat at times, and she likes it to be a bit more animated. But I, you know, and maybe that's part of the control thing, just keeping everything on the level. You know, no extreme highs, no extreme lows. Just, you know what you're going to get.
I'm very much fly by the seat of my pants. Unless I'm at work. At work, I have my calendar and I have my things and my to-do list and my priorities, and I do things A, B, C, D, E, F.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't work that way, and I hate when it doesn't work that way. Yeah. Once I get home, though, it's like, yep, I'm going to record this podcast, got my beer here, and, you know, we're just going to talk and,
you know, see what happens.
See what happens. Fuck it.
Oh, man. I got to order. I don't know. It's probably the work, but
that's all right.
Anyhow.
It's all right.
Anyhow, so, what do you have over there?
So I came across this beer kind of just inadvertently yesterday when we were on our way to our family's house to celebrate Easter. We were running a couple minutes ahead. So when we got off at the exit off of the expressway, I told Kelly, I'm going to run in and I'm going to grab an energy drink and then get her a bottle of water. So I'm going in there and looking around and just kind of like trying to use up a couple minutes because we don't want to show up early. We don't want to be like the first people there. I don't know. So I happened to just figure, I'll just peruse the beer section. They had kind of a nice chilled beer area. And so I saw this beer and I wasn't planning on buying beer, but I decided to buy it because it just looked delicious. And it is a blueberry pancake milkshake stout by Rochester Miro. It is a blueberry. Fuck. It is a blue.
There's always editing.
My favorite's though when there is always editing, but then you just don't edit it and keep this part in, which is fine.
When it works,
which is fine as well. No, okay.
Take two.
So it's a blueberry pancake milkshake stout by Rochester Mills Beer Company, and Rochester Mills is based out of Rochester, Michigan, I like a lot of their brews. If you follow me on Untappd, you'll see there's a couple Rochester beers that are on there, and they have a lot of really good, unique flavors as well, some seasonal stuff that I love. And actually, one of my favorite brews by them is Rochester Red, which is an amber ale that I just, you know, really like. So the Blueberry Pancake Milkshake Stout is 5.25% alcohol by volume. And it is one of our fan favorites from the 12 Days of Milkshake Stout. Blueberry Pancake Flavored Milkshake Stout is a unique brew that surprises the senses, combining the distinct scent and taste of blueberries, layered with the familiar taste of milkshake stout and a pleasant aftertaste of pancakes. Blueberry Pancake bridges the gap and appeals to non-beer drinkers as well. Limited release and by special arrangement. So
that looks really good.
It is really good. And actually there's stacked blueberry pancakes with maple syrup on the back of the can. And it says beer. It's not just for breakfast anymore. And it's very malty sweet. There's a definite blueberry taste, but you can taste some chocolate. Believe it or not, you can taste some pancake in there too. It's just kind of it's a pretty full-bodied beer, and it's just absolutely phenomenal. I love it. And, you know, I love the kind of unique, tasty beers. I would consider it kind of more of a dessert beer, but nonetheless, it's, you know, it's really good. I could definitely take one of these down while, like, you know, digging into a chocolate cake.
Yeah, it does. I'm reading the website here, and it says the taste of sweet, blueberry, chocolatey pancake. And actually, just looking at the picture kind of makes me want to eat some pancakes. So,
yeah, and
it's fantastic. I'll have to see if I can find it around here. Probably not, but maybe there's something similar to it that would be worth a try anyway.
Yeah, and as part of, they have a 12 flavored milkshake stouts that they have, and this is one of them. But there's other ones on there like chocolate cheesecake, bananas Foster, toasted marshmallows, vanilla latte. There's some really unique flavors, and of course they're more focused on more like the dessert type of beers. But nonetheless, they're just delicious, and it's dark too. I mean, this thing is black as night in my mug. You'll be happy, or you'll be proud of me today, because I'm actually drinking out of a mug.
Yeah, which you got some glass there.
Which the only reason is, honestly, because the beer is in a can, and I don't like drinking beer out of a can.
Yeah, that was the kind of an anomaly for me last week. And even buying them, Melissa was like, "What are you doing buying it out of a can?" So, I mean, some of the flavors, that's all there is. It's only available in cans, so I pour it into the glass. So last week was kind of a weird one.
I don't even know if Rochester Mills has beer that they distribute in glass bottles. I think they're all in cans.
Yeah, I've been reading something about that this week, and a lot of what I read, it's kind of the debate whether, cans are as good, and I've read different things each way, and I actually read it's cheaper to do it in bottles, but I guess there's some reason that they want to do it in cans that, maybe easier to distribute, or maybe it stays better longer for certain types of beers or whatever it is that their preference, that's what they want to do. So, they've obviously got a reason for it.
Well, I've always heard not to keep your beer sitting in the sun because sitting in the sun, it'll skunk the beer.
Skunk, yeah.
So I don't know if it's in a can because the sun's not hitting it like it would through glass. Maybe that does help it stay a little bit better or a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think that's why they use the darker bottles too, to try to keep some of that UV light out, but I'm not sure. But the one I'm drinking actually came in a can too. It's the Trogues Nugget Nectar, which I've had a couple of theirs before. I haven't had this one, but I like it a lot. And it was actually recommended to us by the You Don't Know Ish podcast. And I actually already had it in the refrigerator, which was funny because I put a note out on Twitter asking for beer recommendations. And, they sent back a nice list. And one of the ones that I had was already in my refrigerator, so that was good. But this one is the Nugget Nectar. And it actually says it's like a seasonal January to March on tap anyway. But I got this out of a can. And I picked this up at Norm's. It's over there near my office, and they've always got a lot of nice options. So I'm happy with it. But the website says it's impossible to forget your first squeeze. Once a year, as the newest humulus lupulus harvest arrives at Trogues, we blend these super fresh hops into an Imperial Amber Ale. Exclusively dry hopped Nugget Nectar is an explosion of pine, resin, and mango. This is 7.5% alcohol by volume, and the IBU, which is kind of it's a level of hoppiness, is 93. So it's up there.
It's hoppy.
And it says, serving suggestions 45 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. But it says, in a tumbler. So it wants you to drink it in a glass. And actually, even the picture is in a glass, but mine came in a can. Go figure.
It looks pretty good. I mean, you know me, I'm not into the really, really hoppy beers. It's funny you mentioned the IBU, because the IBU of the beer I'm drinking right now is 20. So it's
closer to single digits than mine.
Yeah, it's quite less hoppy than what you're drinking. But it does look good. And actually, I'm looking at the Trogues website right now, and they have some really, really good looking beer here.
Yeah, I've had they have a double bock that I've had that's really good, the Troganator. Yeah. And then they have a hot back amber ale that I've had as well, looking at my Untappd history. But I don't know. I'll have to try it again, although it looked like it might be a limited release based on what they say, using these special kind of hops. So might be next year again, unless I can find some more. I'll swing by Norm's on Wednesday.
Great. And thanks, You Don't Know Ish Girls. Appreciate it.
And we mentioned Untappd earlier, and that's where we keep track of the beers that we're drinking. And I've already checked into mine. But if you use Untappd, it's UNTAPPD, and it's an app for your phone. They do have a web interface as well that you can use on your computer or iPad or any kind of other device. But you can use it to keep track of the beers you're drinking and see what other people are having, and get other ideas if you like to venture out of the usual Budweiser, Miller Lite crowd.
And how are you available at this Untappd app?
Well, I'm available at Robert K 328, and you're available at
Phil Roberts 33.
Awesome. So yeah, find us on there and follow us, and we're happy to have you along. You know, I do have a little bone to pick with you. Last week, you mentioned that you were painting your youngest's room after, or you're going to paint his room after having the ceiling repaired. And I'll have you know that that night after we recorded the show, I was thinking about that ceiling, and I dreamt, and I don't even remember the circumstances around it, but I remember walking across the carpet and wondering why there were stains on there. And we were having, obviously, probably your contractor in the house. And I guess, you know, you got a leaky roof. So I think that's one of those things that, you know, if you have things that you fear most, and a leaky roof is one of them. So thank you for that that bit of a nightmare I had last week.
I'm glad I could help you with that, Robert.
as if I don't have enough issues.
I can only hope that none of your stories turn out to be my dreams.
We'll dive into that another time, but you keep a notepad next to you.
Why does my shirt pocket smell funny? Oh, I got a log of shit sitting in it. Tree seeds.
Oh, man. We saw, I don't remember where we were earlier, but there's this area along the road that all these kind of trees have been planted and sprouting up, or at least they're the leaves are appearing more and they're appearing thicker. And Melissa said, you know, wow, the trees are really getting full. I said, you know, those trees wouldn't be there if somebody hadn't planted all those seeds. So we got a good yuck out of it.
Did she mention me?
She didn't. I probably mention you more than she does, but you know, every now and then she's tolerating the both of us right now.
Good.
So how about you? Do you have anything that happened last week?
So last week in the episode, we talked about pizza.
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 Which is pizza with it. Literally, it's just pizza that has halfway burnt peeps and melted peeps sitting on top of it.
Eyeless peeps.
So, you know, for the betterment of the show, I said, hey, we should try this out. So Callie actually went and she bought some. She was trying to stay as low carb as possible with it because, you know, right, we're doing the low carb thing, except for, like, the pizza I had today that was real pizza. But so she.
It was your cheat week.
Yeah, it's been kind of on and off cheating for the last
You're
week
trying.
Or so. I'm trying, you know, mostly trying. But the problem with low carb is, like, as soon as you have, like, one day where you eat carbs, you pretty much just don't.
Your body.
Your weight doesn't move for, like, a week after that. But, you know, oh, well, it's, you know, slow and steady wins the race, right? So she went and bought some ingredients for, like, thin crust mini pizzas. And so we made a couple of those, and I made two regular non-peep pizzas, and then I made one that was specifically for the peeps, and yes, made them up. And then maybe with 10 minutes or so left in the cooking time, I threw the peeps on the one, cut it up, and bit in.
Yeah. Was it as good as you had hoped? I mean, no, we probably discussed it, and you said, you know, I'll try anything once. So is this going to stop at once, or you think you might do it again?
Well, for the first time, I figure when I said that, I was actually going to follow through with it. So I won't be making pizza anymore. Let's just say that. You know, I'm going to stick to the I'll try anything once, and some things once is more than enough. So it was an interesting taste. It didn't taste bad, per se.
Yeah.
Like, it was an interesting, you know, because, like, I put pepperoni on the pizza, too. So it was like, it was like, the, you know, again, it was like sweet and savory thing, you know. But at the same time, you know, I was happy to eat pizza that didn't have peeps in it after. Like, if I have a choice between pizza with or without peeps, I'm going to go without peeps. But, you know, it was an interesting flavor nonetheless. And
yeah. Well, I had to wonder about the pepperoni on there and how that would affect it, because the pepperoni and the peeps are so far apart that, you know, I think in the original picture, it was just cheese with the peeps on it. So not that that would have been any better. I think, you know, you did as good as good as you could with what you had. That,
yeah,
you know, you went in where I wasn't going to. So it was worth a shot. But yeah, I was curious to see if the taste of the peeps was going to be so strong compared to the other. And we went to IHOP earlier, and my son had it was funny. He's, you know, 7 years old, and he ordered chicken and waffles at IHOP, and, you know, it's the awesome, sweet and savory kind of thing. But those are at least somewhat close together. I think the peep is so far down the sweet realm that it doesn't even really, I mean, even syrup is not quite as sweet as a peep. So it's got to be quite, you know, quite a distinct taste to it that You'll have to like it or not.
Very distinct. And but you know, you know, after last week's Bean Boozled challenge, I figure, what did I have to lose?
Well, you know, my son was very excited to see the Bean Boozled when I had the box, and he kept mentioning it, and he's obsessed with YouTube and, you know, this YouTuber, and he's actually involved in their financial situation, evidently, because he told me about this YouTuber that makes $2,000 a year, and he's probably the richest, you know, YouTube kid on the planet. So he was very interested in the Bean Boozled challenge, and, you know, I think I mentioned it even that he wanted to do it, and sure enough, we did do it.
Now, didn't you say, too, that you actually caught him doing his own Bean Boozled challenges by himself, too?
Yeah, he did. He did his own. I have the recording of it here. I'll play for you. But basically, we did the one the next night after we did our show and put everything together and edited. And it's like, all right, well, let me bring these out now that I've had a little bit of time to almost forget about it, as much as you can forget about the taste of throw up. But so I brought them out, and we sat at the table and we did our own little challenge. And then the next day, he was getting ready for school, and I went to go get ready and do a couple things. Then I came back, and he's like, "Oh, you know, I couldn't wait." And I ate a few more of the jelly beans, and I don't remember which flavor he had, but he said it's really gross.
Awesome.
So, and he's even talking about it now. He wants to do it again. But I have a little bit of the clip of us sitting at the table and trying some. So here it is.
All right, we're here doing the Bean Boozled challenge. Spin the. You gotta watch your fingers.
He's gotta learn how to spin the spinners. Yeah,
landed on what?
Canned dog food. So it has to be a black.
Or chocolate pudding. Or canned dog food.
We're not big pudding eaters, so I don't.
There you go.
I think he would still appreciate the chocolate.
Right, but we both have to do it.
Yeah, okay. Now he's looping me into it. He wants to do it, but only if we both.
Canned dog food.
Solidarity.
Right away.
Mine is definitely canned dog food.
It was so, like, and Melissa was there. She was
like Annie's breath. I really don't like it.
Annie's our 15-year-old dog, so
yeah. That is pretty bad.
It was.
Let's spin again.
What about each bad one we get a point.
Okay.
He had your idea with the points.
Oh, he said each bad one you get a point. He wants you to win by getting the most nasty flavor.
Oh, strawberry, banana, and dead fish.
Yeah. So which fish is going to look like
this one?
Yeah. We had the same problem trying
to see. Hold on a second.
Some of them were a little...
strawberry, banana.
Some were a little bit difficult to decipher which one they were.
That last one was really gross.
Well, I definitely know I don't want to eat dog food.
Yeah.
All right, going in.
We made the chewing noise.
Strawberry banana.
Where's my water?
I got you. You got what? What did you get?
Dead fish.
I got strawberry banana.
Oh, man, it was so bad. I don't know if it was as bad as the barf, but it was pretty terrible. So anyhow,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, he got a kick out of his dad eating that nasty, nasty stuff.
So you'd say you're saying because you ate a lot more terrible ones than I did. So
yes,
safe to say the vomit's the worst one, or the barf is the worst one.
Yeah, the barf is still probably the worst, although the dead fish is a really close second. And it's one of those that it took a little bit longer than the barf did to actually understand what it was. It was probably the third or fourth, you know, chomp down of the jelly bean.
Yeah, that vomit
was one to two. It was like right away.
That was an immediate reaction with the barf. Yeah. I mean, even for me, even the spoiled milk took just a second before I could taste it.
Yeah, you kind of have to wonder, okay, is this really what it is? And that's kind of how a couple of the other ones were as well. Nice. But no, that one did. So I still have this other box here. I'm going to take it to work. I've got a couple folks that I'm training, so I think I'll save it for when they disappoint me. Then I'll make them spin and pick one.
I thought about putting it at work in the lunchroom, just like in a candy dish or something. Don't tell anybody it's Bean Boozled, and just let them see, you know, let them react to it as they take
a little glass bowl on your desk. Oh, I have some candy.
I got a guy in particular in my office. He'll for sure he'll take an entire handful and just eat them all at once, and I'd love to see it. I might do it. I might have to.
Now, how do the people at work think about you? I mean, do they think of you, you know, as a, you know, a coworker, as a superior, or do they think of you as, you know, hey, here's the guy that, you know, plays tricks on us, and, you know, how do they feel about you? Do you know?
All of the above.
All of the above. No, I got a comment last week that, you know, says you're kind of like the little brother I never wanted, or little brother I never had. So that always makes you feel good. You know, you're doing something right.
I can see that. Yeah, I have a good relationship with my colleagues. It's we're professional when we have to be, but yes, when we don't have to be professional, we like to have a good time. And you know, I mean, you see these people all the time, every day.
Yes,
and it's like, you know, you got to have a good time when you're at work. You know, so there needs to be time for that in between all the other stuff that we have to do. So
absolutely,
you know. So I do like to, you know, we've talked about it. I do like my work pranks here and there. Like to goof around and have a good time, yeah, and
keep it light. I mean, yeah, like you said, there's enough stress there that you have to be able to laugh at certain times. And, you know, I often say that, hey, you know, if you don't laugh, you'll pull your hair out, and, you know, kind of point to my head. So, you know, I my coworkers know it, cause I tell them all the time, but I go to bat, you know, for any of them. But at the same time,
100%,
they're not immune to a few jabs here and there,
as they shouldn't be.
Yes, my motto is just, you know, don't be a dick.
You know, I guess I don't have that motto. I probably should have that motto, but
well, you know, keep the peace as much as possible.
Keep,
you know,
the peace, but, you know, razz your coworkers whenever you get opportunity to. So,
well, I've told them, I said, you know, I only do this because I like you, and I actually have one of them told me, you know, like me a little bit less, please.
I've always told people, if I don't like you, you'll know, because I won't even give you the time of day. You'll get zero attention from
me.
If I'm giving you shit about something, then that's right. You're in my good graces. So
exactly. No, that's how it is around here. You know, we you know, here in the house, there's four of us, and, you know, we're on each other about things at all times. So
you think Trump does that with us? That's why he really likes all of us so much. That's why he acts like a dick all the time.
Earlier, I saw a video on Facebook that was getting a lot of comments, where he was at a rally, or, you know, somewhere down in Florida, it looked like on a golf course, and he was signing some people's hats, and, you know, a kid signs it, and he's all excited. He hands him this hat, and he starts to sign it, and then Trump basically just throws it out into the crowd, like, doesn't hand it back to the kid, but just tosses it out. So somebody who was probably, you know, 10 feet farther back, who never would have had a chance to get their hat signed, had one basically land in their lap.
I feel like Hillary would have given it back to the kid.
She would have handed it. She would have realized it and then gone, oh, here you go.
She would have emailed it to him.
Yeah. So I actually have the audio of that. I pulled it because it was kind of fun. So here we go.
Can you sign my hat?
So you hear him asking, can you sign my hat?
Thank you.
Congratulations, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you. Our kids here.
That's when he tosses it back. So he's telling him thank you, and his, you know, his family's like, congratulations, bud. Like, wow, you know, you got this really cool thing that once in a lifetime, you know. And then it looks like he did it to somebody else too, and just kind of tossed it back. And when I was looking for the particular format to be able to pull that clip, I was Googling it, and it looks like it's happened in the past. It's just situational awareness or whatever it is that's not quite there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether he's being, you know, malicious about it. I just think that there's, you know, just overwhelmed at the people and wanting to try to get as many, but I don't know. I like to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
He was probably distracted and thought that maybe one of his staffers or somebody had handed him the hat to sign and throw out into the crowd, and then just,
yeah,
who knows.
Yeah. Felt bad for the kid. Hopefully he found another way to get one, or at least got his hat back from whoever it was that caught it.
I feel like they need to track that kid down and, you know, let him stay at Trump Tower for a night or something, you know, take him to New York.
Yeah, the security's awesome. But hey, I saw actually, you know, we're going to get off this, I think, probably, because the political stuff is, you know, pretty polarizing. But it looked like that. I have that in here. But it's more like. I saw earlier that there's a report that Melania and Barron are moving to D.C. So hopefully some of the articles that get posted repeatedly about how much it costs to, you know, live in New York is going to go down some. And I think, you know, both of us lean the same way, but at the same point, we get tired of reading the same things. You know, we'd rather things go right for the good of the country and, you know, poke fun where necessary, no matter who it is.
And, I mean, how many other people on the planet can you say that moving into the White House is downsizing? It's got to be tough for her. What a dump.
Everything's made out of marble instead of gold. What else do we got?
So, Robert, I wear button-up dress shirts every day when I go to work.
Yep, same.
And one thing that bugs me is when my shirt becomes untucked. You know, sometimes you got to reach up somewhere or something like that. Your shirt kind of goes mm-hmm. with you. I've always thought that maybe if there was something that could be done to keep this from happening, to keep my shirt from coming untucked from my pants.
I've tried the taller shirts, you know, the tall cut.
Yeah.
And you're tall.
Then it just gets baggy, though.
Yeah, you got to watch the bagginess. And, I get the extra large already just because I like a little bit of room. But I try to find the extra large tall if I can just for this reason. Yeah. But sounds like you've got a solution.
Well, I mean, let me ask you this, Robert. What would you think if you could keep your shirt tucked in and also look like a douchebag at the same time?
Would anybody know I was this douchebag, though?
Not unless you took your pants off in front of them, so I don't think...
Oh, well, there goes that.
I'm hoping that would be minimized. but there is actually, and we found this on Facebook here, there is actually a Kickstarter campaign for this. It looks kind of like a reverse garter belt where the straps, yeah. instead of the straps going downward down the leg to hold up, you know, pantyhose... are going upward on the sides to hold the shirt down. So it's actually pulling it down from your mid-thigh area. And actually, Masterable posted it recently, and it says, working dads will love these super awkward suspenders that will keep their shirt tucked. And if this isn't funny, just us discussing it, if you actually watch the video of this, it's comedy gold.
It's... But, you know, it's funny because a lot of the stuff that's there is true. You know, you're reaching up to get something either out of a top shelf or the guy that's trying to open the, open the blinds has got to reach up. And
the struggle is real.
Or evidently bend down and your shirt doesn't come. I don't know why they had to shoot it from behind.
That's what she said.
This other guy is doing lunges and it looks like a good idea, but at the same time, I think.
Oh, God, here we go again. Dork alert.
It looks fucking stupid.
It looks stupid.
This guy looks like such a bitch. If you want your shirt never to come untucked and you also want to ensure that you never get laid, go ahead and get yourself one of these. It's available on Kickstarter.
Well, as married men, I don't know that we need to worry about this for those younger single men out there that are listening to the show. You might want to skip this. Just let your shirt come undone. And I go to the bathroom a lot just so I can redo everything. Just kind of, tuck my shirt back in.
You got to reset.
Yeah. And then, a lot of times I wish I had, the tuxedo pants with the little holes in there where you can reach inside the pocket. The tuxedos have these little holes where you can use to kind of pull your shirt down because with a cummerbund, it'll bunch up and ride up over the top like my stomach does. But I like to be able to reach in there and just kind of pull it down. But not all pants have that. So
no. And actually, I have some suit pants, some dress slacks that have those too.
Okay. That's handy. Yeah, I might have to look into this and just see and try it. But, if it's $30, then I'll probably I might send them a few dollars to see if it works. But anything more than probably $29, I think I'll probably skip it.
Anything more than free, and I'm going to skip this.
So much for trying everything once, right?
Again, if they want to send me, if the asshole that invented this is listening to this podcast and wants to send me a free copy, please email me at hello@thetwobobs.com. Let me know. I'll give you my address. You can send me a pair of these, and I'll wear them one time just to be able to talk about them on the air. But it's other than that, you will not catch me wearing the upside down garter belt.
Well, I mean, just going through the rest of these links here, there are links there on the side of YouTube, and one of them is 4 Secrets to Keeping Your Shirt Tucked In All Day. So I might have to watch that on the side. But, yeah, you might be right. $30 might be even be a little bit too much.
One of the ways is probably just don't be a fat ass, but I'm working on it.
Yeah, there's only so much we can do, Even then, I think you're still going to ride up. But, yeah, having a little extra weight around the waist probably doesn't help any.
Food is delicious.
You know what contributes to that we haven't tasted but probably should? You see this pizza place in Hoboken, New Jersey that's got the giant Taco Tuesday taco pizza?
This is one of those things, if I were to, when we go to sleep at night, You dream of leaky ceilings. I drink of big-ass taco pizza places in New Jersey that serve $80 pizzas that are made up of guacamole and tacos and, you know, and 10 pounds of cheese.
Yeah, it looks good. I think it's, you know, if you go there, it's, I don't think I could order the whole thing. Certainly wouldn't have enough people to be able to eat it, but, you know, a slice would probably be good. $10 a slice or $80 for the pie.
Money well spent. It's an investment in your life, if you ask me. So Tony Bologna's in Hoboken, New Jersey, Taco Tuesday has evolved into a far less fun to say Taco Pizza Tuesday. Like you said, this massive pizza, it's $80 per pie or $10 per slice, begins with house-made queso Oaxaca, carne asada, chipotle asada, and a solid heaping of cheese on top of pizza dough. Once the pizza is cooked, a myriad of taco varieties are piled on the outer rim of the pizza. To finish it all off, guacamole and sour cream are added to the center of the pie for easy dipping access.
Yeah, it looks like I try to count them, but I lose count by the time I start drooling. There's over 20, looks like, soft tacos that go around the edge of this. In the center, looks like it's got a almost like guacamole and sour cream that you would dip it.
Yeah, so this isn't like a small personal pizza with a taco sitting on it. This city is gigantic.
Probably 16 inches across. But, I mean, if you think of a regular soft taco and then think of probably a 12-inch, well, it looks like between 10 and 12 inches of this filling that goes across the center, it's mammoth.
Yeah, it looks delicious.
I'm drooling just thinking about it, and I think that's coming across in my audio.
I'm drooling just thinking about it, and I had pizza for dinner.
Yeah, it says downing one slice is tricky enough, but if you're looking to demolish the entire pie, with a large group of friends, we assume, heed Hockey's advice on how to best consume it. Take the tacos off, dip it in the guac, move them around in the carne asada, eat the tacos, and then smear all the guac and sour cream, all that good stuff, over the pie and eat the slice. And that's, you know, that probably is the way to do it. I don't think you could fit a slice in with the taco on top.
Yeah, you could if you tried. I don't know. Well, so what I would do is I would take two slices. I would take a layer of guacamole and sour cream, lather it on top of one of the slices, turn the other slice upside down, and put it on top of the first slice to make like a sandwich.
And then you have to unhinge your jaw like those big snakes.
I'd use the guacamole and sour cream mixture as kind of like an adhesive to keep the two slices together, and I'd eat it that way.
Road trip.
I know. Next time we're in New Jersey, we totally have to go to Hoboken and get this. Go stop at Tony Bologna's and get an $80 pizza. It'd be worth $40 a pop just to be able to split one of these.
Split. I'm thinking $10 for the slice. Although, you know what? For $80, I think just the Instagram pictures alone would be worth the $80.
It'd be social media gold.
The selfie game is on point.
Taco pizza for the win. So, Robert, with Easter being yesterday and last week us doing this Bean Boozled challenge and having the opportunity to just and being able to taste some god awful jelly beans, have you heard of this guy these people that found this 9-year-old Easter egg and decided to crack it open and see what happened?
Well, you know, one of the Bean Boozled flavors was rotten egg, so I can only imagine what they found.
Luckily, I didn't get it.
No, thankfully not. But I see this article here that you sent me. It says, in a fascinating yet unsettling new video, a family gathers around to crack a 9-year-old Easter egg that has recently surfaced. Ooh. And it says, my parents had some furniture in storage from mid-2008 until early 2017. So what's that, nine years. We found an egg from our 2008 Easter egg hunt hiding behind the couch cushions. That sounds pretty nasty. And of course they're going to open it.
Of course they're going to open it. And of course they're going to put it on the internet because we put all this crazy shit on the internet these days. Because what would we have to talk about other than beer and food if there wasn't for people doing shit like this for us to be able to enjoy on our podcast. So
if you can't post it and you can't share it, it didn't happen.
That's true. So the caption says, at least we know it stinks. If it had no odor, that would somehow be more unnerving.
You couldn't possibly be any dumber.
I swear to God, you better cut some of that out. For you people listening, it took me a dozen and a half times to read that. What it was is because the caption actually says at least
it's like last week where you're
at least
like,
we know
fuck that's not right.
Well, it says at least we know if stinks. See, people are throwing me off with this shit. Damn it.
Typos.
Fuck this video.
Well, I think the only way we can solve this mystery about whether it had no odor or not is to watch it. So
yeah, here we go. Play the video, Robert.
9-year-old Easter egg. The inside is turned to a rubber ball.
What's a dog?
It's pretty.
It exploded.
Oh my god!
Oh, it stinks.
That was unexpected.
It looks like a green alien thing that just sprang from it the second that they, you know, because he's jabbing it with a knife, so he jabs it and this thing just explodes. Like there was this built up pressure.
It was waiting.
It was just waiting for somebody to release it, and it landed on the counter. And it was on the floor. I should say it started on the floor. It landed on the counter.
So yeah, I don't even know what shade of green that is.
It looks like guacamole that's been left out for a long time.
Yeah, and it's almost like it's moldy on the side. There's a little bit of the yellow originally in there from the yolk, but it's probably based on those spots on the side. It's probably entirely mold.
Oh, that thing is.
But you're right. It does look like something an alien like cracked and eventually came out of because
that looks fucking hideous.
That's disgusting. And that, you know what? Based off the stuff that we ate last week, this has got to smell way worse than anything tasted.
Oh my god, yeah. You'll die if you eat that.
I could. Oh my god. I don't know who draws the short straw and has to, you know, take that thing outside.
Yeah, I would call an exterminator at that point.
Oh, man. This is in a video. The foolish soul who posted the video can be seen prodding the mystery egg with a butter knife and stating, 9-year-old Easter egg. The inside has turned into a rubber ball before shaking the egg, which sounds as if it's something hard. Then he takes a knife to the monstrosity, which violently explodes into a mess of Easter misery and existential darkness.
Yeah, that's the complete opposite of Easter.
Oh, it's so gross. Yeah, it begs the question, how did it taste? Who uses real Easter eggs in an Easter egg hunt? I think they've learned their lesson.
Well, so funny thing, we actually do use real Easter eggs. We use some real Easter eggs because we. So
are you
we,
crazy?
Well, no, so this is what we do. We color the Easter eggs the night before, so Saturday night, the kids color the Easter eggs. I hid them. I counted the amount of Easter eggs, and then when it was all done, I counted the Easter eggs again to make sure that we had every single one of them. And, I mean, let's face it.
You don't document where you put them? You just, you know, you just count? What if you're at the end and you can't remember? I mean, I hid 6 plastic eggs, and I have no idea where one of them was until I walked around looking for it.
Well, I have better memory than you do, I guess. No, that's
probably.
No, I don't think that's it.
That's entirely fair.
Honestly, I don't put that much effort into hiding the Easter eggs, though. I mean, I have a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old, and I want to make sure the 3-year-old has just as many opportunities. So they're all like, if you're standing in the middle of the room, you could literally do
a
complete circle and see all the eggs in the room if you try hard enough. So I'm not going that, you know, that crazy with the hiding of the eggs where I couldn't just find it within a couple of minutes. So I wasn't too nervous. Right. But I will say this. The real eggs I make sure are in the easiest spots to make sure there's no way in hell that this is going to happen.
Well, that's a good idea. All right. Well, you're off the hook. I won't judge you too much for that anymore.
I really appreciate that. Because
I know you were worried.
I seek your approval like this, Robert. I mean,
as everybody does. That's why I'm taking these jelly beans to work on Wednesday. And those that aren't seeking my approval or those that don't meet it will definitely be taking a spin on the Bean Boozled.
I mean, wheel. You could really use this as a tool to really understand who at work is on Team Robert. I'm just saying.
Well, everybody is, aren't they? And I have a few of them that listen, so they'll set me straight. They're very quick to set me straight when I get out of line.
Yeah, I mean, in your mind, I'm sure everybody is on your team.
I do tell myself that, although, you know, there are times when I know that. Well, I believe they're secretly plotting against me. I told them about my assassination complex the other day and got kind of, you know, a few strange looks, but oh well, that's for another show.
It's funny that you think that you're famous enough or important enough where your death would be considered an assassination and not just somebody getting gunned down or something like that.
That's part of the joke, and two, that's a Chris Rock routine, which you should go Google on your own.
All right, I'll work on that.
Well, you have anything else for us? You want to take a few more shots at me before you go? Is it going to make you feel better, tough guy?
No, I think I've pretty much met my quota for the day.
Well, good. I didn't go to work today, so I didn't get any. So this is, you know, this feels good. I think I'll be able to sleep better now.
I'm bringing you back down. All right. When you get to work tomorrow,
I need that.
You're at least in the realm of everybody else.
I need to be reminded of my tether every now and then.
You are immortal. No, wait. You are not immortal.
Well, if anybody wants to reach us and, you know, poke more fun at me and tell me how terrible I am, how can they get to us?
Well, they can get to us via email at hello@thetwobobs.com, on all the social things at Two Bobs Podcast. And I think they can call us.
I noticed that you had a phone number.
Yes, we do. It's 530-882-BOBS, which is 530-882-2627. And to make it easy, if you just bring up thetwobobs.com on your smartphone, there's a big red button that you just tap it and it'll call in. Or if you find us on Facebook, and we would love to have more people like us on there, you know, there's a call button that's there, a little action item there too. So you don't have to set us, you know, in your contact list, although you should by now.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, if you're thinking about calling, just, you know, fucking get off your high horse call us. Yeah. Call us in. Nobody's calling in, and you got to realize, if you call in, unless you're an asshole, even if you are an asshole, you're probably still going to get on the show. So, you know.
You're going to get on the show, and you know what? The alternative is, you know, we might have to start dialing outward.
I think so. We're just going to, you know, let's robo-dial people like telemarketers until we can get some random asshole. Let's call India, like, just nonstop, just, you know, robo-dial them until somebody answers their phone.
I heard you had a virus.
Paybacks are a bitch.
All right. Well, hope you have a good night, and we'll catch you up next week.
See you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel Beat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.